Good morning, everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. It's time to talk gardening. The fall is the best time to do new planting, to move things around, and especially those of you in the north that have already had some frost and fall color. This is the perfect time to not only do it and the plants live, but you're going to catch that burst of root growth in the fall and a little bit through the winter, and then spring everything takes off like it's been there for a long time. So I know there's a lot of other things going on in the fall, but and at this time of the year, but October, especially for us here in the south, and I think it probably is the case for most people in the country, is one of the best, if not the best month of the year, just being beautiful and pleasant, but also a great time to plant. And I tell you another thing it's a good time to do, and I want to tell you about my sprinkler company, the sprinkler the irrigation company that I use. I recommend to the people in the North Texas area, especially Dallas-Fort Worth. It's King Lawn Sprinkler Company. I've been working with them for a long time. They've been around for, gosh, it seems like forever. When I first started in the landscaping business, they were around. They started in 1945, so I didn't start the landscape design business until 1970 or something. So this company's been around, still doing a great job. They do repair and installation, of course. They do residential or commercial work. They will do drainage systems. I get a lot of questions about that, but King Lawn Sprinkler Company does drainage systems. They do design and installation. They service all brands of equipment, and they give you free estimates on new installations. The one main reason I wanted to talk about them is that one thing we're doing on our property is we're changing some of the sections so that the grass and the beds are not on the same section. Saving water is what it's all about, and watering the specific plants properly. If you have the grass and the beds on the same zones, which I have had for a long time, it's very difficult. In fact, I've been overwatering some turf that holds water better than the beds in one situation, and we're going to be changing that over, just a series of changes that we're doing. I bring that up because this is the best time for you to get the work done from now through winter. King is who I'd recommend do the work, and by spring when it starts getting hot again, you'll be all squared away and ready to go. That is a very, very important thing for you to do. We've been meeting and talking about the mosquito issue, as you know, for some time, and trying to come up with a program that the city of Dallas and the county of Dallas County and other people can implement, and it goes on a yearly basis. It's not just reacting to when there's a mosquito problem. And the new program is going to really come down hard on overwatering and not having sprinkler systems that are done properly like I was talking about. So that's another reason to get your sprinkler systems in good shape and don't overwater. Those of you that are still watering with the clock set on automatic and it runs every day or every other day or every third day, change that. You don't want to do that. You want it to be set on manual. And the only time your sprinkler system runs is when you go out and push the button and have it run through all of the sections. Having it on automatic, other than the rare case where you're out of town and you don't have anybody that can come by and push the button, should it be on automatic. That goes for commercial as well as residential stuff. Telephone number, and there's open lines right now at 866-444-3478. I want to talk about lace bark elm a little bit there. But first, it's Janet in Nevada, Texas. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I had a text from who I call Crazy Rick that you had made cookies that didn't turn out right.
Well, they taste wonderful, but they're kind of soft and chewy. And I was experimenting around with trying to figure out how to make them more crisp. And we've gotten a lot of calls about it and people sending information. I guess the most common one is this xanthan gum.
Oh, my.
Using it in the mix. What I used instead of just back up, and other people may not have heard this, I made chocolate chip cookies not using flour or any gluten at all. I used almond flour in one batch, and I used almond meal in another batch. In the third batch, I mixed the two together and used a good dark chocolate, used a little baking soda, a little bit of sea salt, and coconut oil for the oil. So did you have a tip for us?
Well, I was – the only thing I can really help you with is substituting honey for sugar.
Well, that's what we used. We used honey.
You never – in a recipe that wasn't created for honey as the sweetener, you never substitute more than half of the honey.
Ah,
sugar.
Okay. I did the same amount, so that's a good tip.
You can only use and when you do that, if it called for 2 cups of sugar, the first cup of sugar you could use half a cup of sugar and half a cup of honey. But on the second cup, it changes as you go higher in how much you're substituting. But in general, you only substitute half the sugar with honey. And once you do that, you have to reduce your cooking temperature by 25 degrees. Whenever honey is used in baking, you lower your temperature by 25 degrees because it browns differently. And the other thing, you always make sure you have baking soda in it, which most recipes call for that anyway. But
yeah, I used that. I did not reduce the temperature, and they came out fine. In fact, I even, at the recommendation of one of the guys that was in a bakery department of a grocery store, he told me to kick the temperature up a little bit to help make them more crisp. But that may hurt the honey, destroy the honeys.
The National Honey Board recommends that you lower the temperature by 25 degrees. And the other thing is, when you add honey, you have to lower the amount of other liquids in the recipe.
Well, the only other liquids that I put in were just a little bit of vanilla and the coconut oil.
Yeah, well, see, you added a whole bunch of liquid by using was the coconut oil a liquid rather than a solid?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
it was. Yeah, and when it's hot, it's a liquid, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, but you added a lot of moisture.
That would explain why they're kind of soft and flexible.
One of the things we always do when we cook with honey is you, lots of recipes, I think my chocolate chip cookie recipe calls for adding like a tablespoon of milk or something. I would leave that out if I put honey in because I want that extra liquid.
Yeah, mine didn't have any milk in it. Well, I'll try that. I'll try limiting, cutting the honey in half and see what that does. Have you ever used that xanthan gum?
I've never used that.
Well, it's a naturally fermented product, apparently, the way they talk about it in the quick research I did on it. I haven't used it either, but it was recommended by a couple of people.
Well, I'm all for cooking better.
Okay. Thank you, Janet.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
You checking in with us.
Okay.
Let's go to, and we got an open line for you now at 866-444-3478, 866-444-3478, Marietta, Georgia. It's Danny. Hey, Danny, how you been?
Pretty good, sir. I've been listening to your show this morning. I'm fixing to move to New Mexico, southern New Mexico.
Okay.
In February. I got some property out there. Uh-huh. And I was wanting to know, it's in the mountains. It's 4,700 feet up. And, what kind of trees could I plant out there? Could I plant a pecan tree is what I was wanting to know.
I think it'd be a little cold out there, Danny. I tell you, my best advice to you is when you get out there, do a search first and see what kind of trees are recommended there. And when you get out there, talk to the local people, the garden centers. If you can get a hold of a landscape contractor or somebody to talk to, and the local extension people would be the best way to go to get advice on the species that they recommend. And
okay.
Lean toward native trees. And then your second choice is kind of like I've been talking about with Chinese pistachio and Lace Lark Elm today. Those adapted introductions, make that a secondary or the B list.
Okay.
You know, and I think if you do that and then plant them with the natural organic techniques that we have on our website, dirtdoctor.com, you'll do great.
Okay. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. The website, dirtdoctor.com. If you're interested in some of the products we talk about, you can find information on them at Now. I'll tell you what Now is right after this. One of the places you can go to buy Crazy Water is at the Crazy Water store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase Crazy Water and many related products. Crazy Water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work. Howard Garrett's new book, Organic Management for the Professional, is the first comprehensive guide to going green in large-scale landscaping, soil building, correct planting techniques, fertilizing, and pest control. You will learn how to apply these organic methods in large-scale landscaping, such as orchards, tree farms, and greenhouses, as well as recreational properties such as golf courses and parks. The Organic Management for the Professional is written for landscape architects and contractors, golf course managers, park administrators, turf managers, or other stewards of the land. Buy it today from your local bookstore, retailer, or the Natural Organic Warehouse.
Howard Garrett back with you. 866-444-3478 is the phone number. I ran into something. Well, let me talk to Terry first. Then I ran into something good about selecting trees for various parts of the country that might be interesting to you. Terry and Ennis, what can I do for you?
Yes, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have 10 grafted con trees. I started in March of 11. But I have one that I planted this March and three or four others planted last October. I thought I got them root flared, but I didn't, and they're a little bit too deep. And so I've been blowing the soil off of them, and they have several false roots that need to be cut. Mm-hmm. My question is, do I wait until they lose their leaves, or do I cut them now? And also, do you cut them flush, or how do you cut them?
Well, those adventitious roots that you're talking about are false roots. You're absolutely right. They grow out of the trunk of trees when they're too deep in the ground.
Right.
And what we've done on managing those things in the past is a couple of ways so you can decide on what you want to do. When you expose, have you exposed the flares completely already?
Yes, I'm down to the flare.
Okay. You can leave those adventitious roots. They'll actually pull in nutrients and water like a regular root.
Okay.
So you can leave them for a while, and when you're into the winter, you know, it's totally dormant, cut them off. And, yes, even there, leave a little bit of a stub. There won't be a normal branch collar like you have on a regular some of the roots and for sure on limbs, but leave a little bit of a stub and go ahead and cut them off in the winter. The other thing you can do is leave them on there forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're going to be kind of in the way and look kind of funny, but they really aren't going to be hurting anything. We left some adventitious kind of things that were on the big champion pecan in Weatherford for a while, and then some because they were bridging over the big rotted area that we had gone in and done some work on. And then somebody else came out there one day and cut the thing off a little quicker than I would have recommended. So the point is, it's not the end of the world to go ahead and cut them off now. But on the other hand, you can leave them on there as a curiosity and to help feed the tree, from now on. Either
okay.
way you want to go.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Send me pictures if you can, digital pictures we like to get. Send them to info@dirtdoctor.com.
I'll sure do that.
Okay. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And there's an open line for you at 866-444-3478. The call got me thinking about this, the call about the person from Georgia, and he was from Georgia, I could tell by that accent, moving to New Mexico and selecting trees, and why it's so important to, when anybody doing that or wherever you are, deal with some local people, and more than one maybe, when you're coming into an area new and really get a good list and see what the crossover is, what more than one person would recommend to you. There's a website that could be some help to you, but I want to point out the possible fatal flaws. The Arbor Day Foundation has a website. It's arborday.org, and you can type in your zip code, and I did that for here, mine's 75214, and that puts me in Zone 8, according to their website, and which is true with the new hardiness map, and it gives you a list of trees that will grow in your zone. Well, let me go through a couple of these and point out to you where the fatal flaws are. For example, they list a ton of trees. The first one that I noticed that's listed for Zone 8 is American beech. Well, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, if you planted American beech, it'd probably live about a week and a half. So, you know, it won't grow in our soils here. I'm not even sure it would, it'd take the climate probably all right, but the soils here would be a no-no. It also recommends river birch. River birch is a short-lived tree that doesn't do well here, and I wouldn't recommend it at all in heavy clay soils. It's a bottomland tree, needs lots and lots of water. It recommends black tupelo. Black tupelo would grow great over in East Texas and probably in Georgia and places like that where it's acid, sandy soil, but no bueno at all in the alkaline soils like we have. It recommends the buckeyes. Buckeyes do great here. It recommends northern catalpa. And it does great here. A lot of people don't like it, but it grows beautifully here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Atlas cedar and Cedars deodora, both will do okay. Neither one would be anything I'd recommend, though, for a foolproof tree long-term for you. Recommends Chinese chestnut. Won't grow here at all. Kentucky coffee tree, not very well known, but grows beautifully here in the North Texas area. Planted very little, but it's one of those trees that will adapt to soils kind of across the board. It's really a nice tree, not used enough. Crepe myrtles are mentioned. That's an imported tree that does beautifully here and in a lot of other places around the country. Arizona cypress is recommended, does okay here. I would not design it into a project, but where they exist, I like them. I wouldn't take them out. I think they're beautiful trees, but I wouldn't design in and use a lot of them on residential or commercial projects, either one. Also recommend for our area are dogwoods. Dogwoods do pretty well, especially if you prepare the area well and they can get adapted, but they're much better in sandy, acid soils. Hackberries recommended. Good feed for the birds, the fruit, but other than that, it's a crummy tree. Golden rain tree. I'll go through a few more for you when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. George McGovern once joked that he had wanted to run for the presidency in the worst way and that he had done so. The Democrat who lost to Richard Nixon in a landslide in 1972 has died. His family says McGovern passed away this morning at a hospice in South Dakota. He was 90 years old. Lebanese soldiers have fired guns and tear gas to push back hundreds of protesters trying to storm the government headquarters in Beirut. The enraged crowd came from the funeral of a top Lebanese intelligence official assassinated in a massive car bombing Friday. Libya's state news agency says 22 pro-government militia men have been killed in an assault on the last stronghold of the late dictator Muammar Gaddafi. And France's foreign ministry says that Iran appears on track to reach the ability to produce a nuclear weapon as of the first half of next year. An official tells Europe One Radio unspecified experts agree. This is
You have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're sending free jars of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now will learn how to get a free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. You only pay shipping and handling. For details, just call 1-800-487-7521. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. There's more. The first 500 callers will also get 5 free Beautips, the revolutionary makeup correction tool for a flawless, perfect look. This free giveaway is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone free offer. Just call 1-800-487-7521. That's 1-800-487-7521. Call 1-800-487-7521.
With S-Word Sports, I'm Patrick Foss, and the BCS standings come out number one Alabama and second-ranked Florida expected to hold their ground. The Tide improved to 7-0 and 4-0 in the SEC with a 44-13 win over Tennessee and Knoxville. Florida also moved to 7-0, routing ninth-ranked South Carolina 44-11. Gators coach Will Muschamp talks about his team scoring 3 touchdowns off turnovers.
In every meeting, we spend a lot of time on just talking about stripping the ball off people and knowing when they don't have it high and tight, when they loosen the ball down, and it's most of our defensive kids are on special teams, so they're constantly, that's pounded into their head.
Florida's a win away from locking up a berth in the SEC title game. Fourth-ranked Kansas State clobbered number 17 West Virginia 55-14. Colin Klein paced the Wildcats, accounting for 7 touchdowns. He passed for 3 scores and also ran for 4. Kansas State, now 7-0, is alone atop the Big 12 standings. This is Esser in Sports. Fifth-ranked Notre Dame at 7-0 is off to its best start of the decade. They had to get a late touchdown for a comeback 17-14 win over BYU. Irish coach Brian Kelly says he doesn't expect many blowout victories by his team.
You can't win games by 28 and 30 points and have all these style points. You need to just find ways to win. That's who we are.
Notre Dame has a big game ahead against number 10 Oklahoma next week. The 5-1 Sooners clobbered Kansas 52-7. Sixth-ranked LSU was a 24-19 winner over number 20 Texas A&M. 7th-ranked Ohio State had to go to overtime to beat Purdue 29-22. 8th-ranked Oregon State down to Utah 21-7. It was 11th-ranked Southern California 50, Colorado 6. Number 12, Florida State 33, Miami of Florida 20. 13th-ranked Georgia 29, Kentucky 24. Number 14, Clemson 38, Virginia Tech 17. Other top 25 winners, Mississippi State, Louisville, Texas Tech, Rutgers, Toledo, Stanford, Michigan, and Boise State. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-DIRT, 3478. I was talking about selecting trees wherever you are in the country and kind of the pitfalls of getting advice broad brush without talking to somebody locally that can address all aspects of what trees you should select. And it's not just the climate. It's the soils and the water conditions and all kinds of things. And I was pointing out that there is a website, the ArborDay.org website. You type in your zip code, and it'll tell you, give you a long list of trees that do well in your zone. And I was just doing an example. I typed in my zip code here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and going through some of the recommended trees, and some of them would work well here and some of them would be terrible. And I had gotten down to golden rain tree, which will do well here. It's not one that is extremely long-lived like some of the oaks and ash that we recommend, the native trees, but it's pretty good here. Hackberry is on the list, and in most cases, you know, hackberries are pretty trashy. Trees fall apart, don't live a long time. When they are alive, they have fruit that's good for the birds. That's the main benefit from them. Canadian hemlock is on the list for my area. Won't work here at all. Hickory is on the list. Won't work here at all. Hickory has to have sandy, acid, deep soil. Does beautifully over in East Texas and places throughout the South that have those kind of soils. But when you're dealing with alkaline soils, black clay soils, white rock, caliche, things like that, that plant would live about a week. It'd live longer than that, but it wouldn't do any good for you. Honey locust is on here, thornless. I don't like them. I don't think they last nearly as long as a lot of people think. Other people kind of like them. That's subjective, I guess. Magnolia is on the list. It will do well here. Magnolia grows in all kinds of soils, does better in the deep soils, but it's one of those trees that will adapt to most any kind of soil that you run into. Japanese red maples, Japanese maples across the board do great here. They grow across the country for the most part. They're just terrific. Live oak is on here. That's great. Bur oak is on here. That's great. Sugar maple's on here, and that's terrible. Sugar maple won't do well here at all. The big tooth maple, which probably is akin to sugar maple, does very, very well. Caddo maple does well, and some others do, but sugar maple won't grow here because of the soils. Mountain laurel, well, there's mountain laurel that will grow in New Mexico where the caller was saying he was moving. It's a beautiful tree, has red foliage, and it's really great. But there's a Texas mountain laurel. The regular mountain laurel won't grow here at all. It grows in higher elevations and soils like in New Mexico and Colorado and places like that. Wouldn't do well here at all. It'd burn up. But on the other hand, the Texas mountain laurel is native to Texas and would do very well here. Northern red oak is on this list, as well as sawtooth oak, scarlet oak, and Schumard oak. Well, some of those will grow here and some of them won't. And that's why it's so important for you to talk to somebody locally. For example, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Schumard oak and Texas red oak and white oak is so-so, but overcup oak won't grow here at all. Needs acid sandy soil. Pin oak won't grow here at all. Needs acid sandy soil. Sawtooth oak, and I'm guilty of planting a bunch of those. That's one that's imported from Asia. Same as crepe myrtles and shantung maples, which does pretty well here. But the sawtooth oak doesn't like our soils at all. Some of them that I planted a long time ago have limped along and have held on, but they're kind of chlorotic and look sort of okay if you throw enough amendments at them and everything. But they should never be planted here. They should be planted in Asia or in, at the worst, deep sandy soils. And pecans certainly will do well here. London plane trees and sycamores and all do well here. But you see my point. Some of the things recommended, giant sequoia won't do well here. Dawn redwood, which is metasequoia, does beautifully here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and a lot of the South. But giant sequoia, no can do. It does recommend dawn redwood. I'm glad to see that. It recommends eastern red cedar, which is native here. So it certainly does well here. Mentions redbud. It gives you a thousand choices here, but probably less than a fourth of them would be something that you ought to buy. Black walnut is on this list. It's one of those things, I love walnuts and all, but in the black and white soils like we have, they don't do that well. They'll do okay, kind of limp along and not last a long time. They like the deep, healthier soils as well. Black tupelo, I already mentioned. Weeping willow, I wouldn't plant. They're too short-lived. Carpathian walnut actually does fairly well here. Not a bad-looking tree at all. It's not the greatest choice in the world. And then Zelkova is the last one recommended. Zelkova is not a good tree. It was brought on the market. It's an imported tree and probably mostly hybridized for the most part, but it's doesn't do well. Don't waste your money on it, even though it on some list like that it would be recommended. Instead of Zelkova, plant elms. That's what it was brought on the market for, is to replace the elms that were dying of Dutch elm disease and things like that. If you use the organic program and the sick tree treatment, just like red oaks and live oaks, you can control those diseases maybe not make that tree your main choice, but if you do have some elms, which I'd recommend over Zelkova, you can keep them around with the techniques that we recommend on dirtdoctor.com. And one of the things that I need to mention, too, is that if you're thinking about planting new trees, you're new to an area, wherever you are in the country, I'd get a baseline of what your soil is. And the company I'd use is TPSL. What does that stand for? It stands for Texas Plant and Soil Lab. They're in Edinburgh, Texas, but they do soil testing for people all over the country and in other countries as well. Their website is asktheplant.com. Is it asktheplant.com or asktheplant.org? One of the two. Try them both. Telephone number is 956-383-0739. Get a baseline of what your chemistry of your soil is, whether it's alkaline or acidic, what nutrients are there in it, what are available to plants, what the trace minerals are. They give you all that. If you really want to do a good job, get a test on the water that you'll be using in your area too. And Texas Plant and Soil Lab also does that as well. Texas Plant and Soil Lab, they have a banner ad right on the side of our homepage, dirtdoctor.com. Actually, those banner ads rotate, so if it's not there, go to another page and it'll pop up for you and has all their data, all their information about how to contact them and all that. Okay, we've got a Howard calling in. Is that Bladewater or Gladewater? Bladewater, Texas. Where is Bladewater, Texas, Howard?
Oh, I didn't know you were speaking to me. That's Gladewater down in Piney Woods.
I thought that's what that probably was. Matt's a Yankee fan in there. You know, you can't ever trust him with that kind of stuff. I certainly know where Gladewater is. I'm from Pittsburgh, Texas.
I thought so.
What's going on?
Oh, not much. I'm enjoying your show.
Thanks,
been
sir.
Listening to it for quite a while. The information I got, that I want to get from you is about an Alberta peach. I've been getting negative about that thing. Can you tell me something about it?
Well, my grandparents used to grow that one over in, you know, where Tyler is and between Pittsburgh and Tyler, they grew that one and they grew a lot of others and had great success. Other people will tell you, the Extension Service and folks like that, that that's not a good one, that it's subject to a lot of diseases and whatnot. Do you already have some planted?
No, I don't. I've got one that has died on me. It's not an Alberta. I don't really know what type of peach tree it is, but it has a red meat. It's about the half the size of those Albertas that they used to be.
Well, let me give you my best advice on peach trees and fruit trees in general. One thing is, if you want to see the details of what all we like and recommend, Malcolm Beck and I did a book on it. It's called the Texas Organic Vegetable Gardening Book. And although it's got a name that says vegetables, we also cover fruit trees in the book. So you might want to look at that. But my best advice to you, no matter what you do, what you select, is to plant more than one variety.
Okay.
Because when you do that, if the weather's one way, it may favor one variety. If it's another way, it may favor two varieties or one other variety. And it's always changing, as you know. The other very important key to being successful with fruit trees is to plant them at the right height. And almost everybody out there, Howard, plants them too deep in the ground. They tend to plant them down near the bud union where there's a crook in the trunk or a knot. They think that that's kind of the top of the flare, and it's not. If you plant a fruit tree so that flare, that knot is at the ground surface, you've probably planted the tree about 8 to 10 inches too deep in the ground.
Okay.
You want to have it way higher than that so that where the roots are actually breaking is just barely under the soil surface. And if you do that, if you plant a variety of fruit trees, you can get away with a lot of different varieties over there in that beautiful sandy loam soil that you have. But try several different ones if you have the room, and use the organic program on our website under guides. You'll find what we call the organic fruit and pecan tree program. And under that, it covers all of the details of everything that I recommend relative to fruit.
Okay. I appreciate that. Now, when I get ready to plant, if I can find it, I want to try it one more time, Alberta. What type of fertilizer would you recommend?
Any of the organic fertilizers. I was talking to some people off the air a minute ago about what I would recommend right now at this time of the year. And for any crop that you have, my recommendation and what I'm using on my properties right now is dry molasses.
Okay.
At about 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Use it as a fertilizer.
Okay.
And then spray everything, foliage, trunks of trees and the ground and everything with Garrett Juice Plus. And the formula is on the website. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this. There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend you try for your dogs. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. Main thing to them is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. Other major points are the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients around, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. Also, some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time. Some of the Munster dog foods contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, but all Munster natural foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the United States, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com and make your dogs and cats happier and healthier.
Keeping our bones strong and healthy becomes more of a challenge as we age, especially for women. This is Dr. Natalie Engelbart, scientific advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has proven that adding a probiotic supplement to your diet will fortify and strengthen bones, making them less likely to break. A clinical study done exclusively on Dr. O'Hara's probiotics found that women and men who took Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for at least 8 weeks had significantly increased bone density. The calcium we consume through milk and supplements is not always absorbed or used to build bone. In fact, without a healthy probiotic population in the gut, calcium can pass right through undigested. The nice thing about probiotics is that they are part of the original plan. They are supposed to be in the intestinal tract. As a doctor, I worry about depending on drugs that harden bone by slowing the normal remodeling process. But I can't think of a good reason not to have better digestion at any age.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or Garlic Pepper Tea. For insect pests,
Spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Louise called and couldn't hoe for some reason. Has tiny black bugs on her squash plant. If they are bugs and they're moving around, it's probably flea beetles or something like that. It could be garden flea hoppers. What I do with most any pest is use the Garrett Juice Plus. That's the one that has the fish in it, the formula that has the fish in it, and add an ounce or up to 2 ounces of orange oil or one of the essential oil products. And it's pretty good on controlling that. If you add the BioWash or a Lemon Joy at a teaspoon per gallon, it works pretty well too. It could be, if you're seeing little black things on your plants, it could be the waste of caterpillars too. And if that's the case, caterpillars big enough to leave a lot of waste around on your plants are probably few and can be picked off and controlled that way. And if you can't find them, go out at with a flashlight in the dark at night, and you'll probably be able to see what the critters are that are giving you trouble, okay? Let's see. What else was I going to do before I went back here? Mary is next up in Oak Cliff, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mary.
Hi.
What's up?
I want to know, would you explain to us why high fructose corn syrup is bad for us?
I sure will.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's made. Do you know how it's made?
No, I don't know a thing about it. All I know is I can't eat it anymore. It makes me sick, makes me break out.
Okay, well, that's a reason not to eat it right there. But what the deal is, Mary, high fructose corn syrup is a byproduct. It's a byproduct that comes from making... They're making the high fructose corn syrup, and the byproduct that comes off of that is some of the other things that we have, corn meal, corn gluten meal, things like that that we recommend. And
yeah,
that's the wet, syrupy, sweet part of it. And when they break it off like that, it is it's a sugar that's just not natural for you at all. It really affects your weight. It goes straight to fat. This obesity problem that we have in the country, you know, that everybody talks about, it's not a made-up thing. If you, you know, look around and watch what's going on in this country right now, you can see that a lot of people have that issue. And high fructose corn syrup is the sugar that's in most of the stuff that you buy out there.
It's in everything, even my favorite pork and beans.
That's right. If you look at the label, you're going to see high fructose corn syrup and stuff across the board out there. And that's why I bring up and talk about, like I did this morning, and we've talked about it several times, making cookies, chocolate chip cookies with honey as the sweetener instead of sugar. Sugar is better than high fructose corn syrup because it's just a little bit more buffered and natural than high fructose corn syrup is. But you have to work, as you know now, at avoiding that stuff.
Yes.
And it's not only fattening, but it's just bad for your health. It just, you know, it's not natural. It's not good for your gut, for the flora and fauna that are in your gut. And that's one of the reasons why we recommend the fermented foods like we've talked about today some. And we recommend Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, this capsule that I take daily. My wife and daughter do, too. We recommend it very, very highly. Because when you eat out and when you eat at other people's houses and things, even if you're pure with what you eat at home, you're going to be getting those kind of things in the food when you eat at other places.
It's just hidden poison.
It's in everything out there. If it's a packaged product and if it's not something that has on the package that it doesn't include it, you better think that it probably does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Howard.
I appreciate the call very much, and good luck finding good, healthy sugar. The good sugars, the good sweeteners, number one's honey without any choice. I mean, without any question, is by far the best. And then the second best is probably stevia, which comes from a plant that looks like a weed, and it's pretty easy to grow. You can buy the products on the market now. And then, you know, the brown sugars and other things like that are in the not so bad category, I guess. You know, the one that's good. Molasses is a pretty good bad one to eat. It's great for how we use it as a horticultural tool in the mixtures to make the products work better and to go on the land, an economical way to stimulate the natural biology in the soil. Sugars will be created naturally in the soil if you simply let shredded material and compost go on the ground and break down, all these natural things will happen. Save money and speed up the process and get away from using the salt fertilizers and the synthetic things, using some sugars, using some organic fertilizers and mixtures, fish and seaweed and vinegars. Vinegar's a wonderful natural material. And by the way, I take vinegar every day. I think if you have, for whatever reason, you have to eat some foods that have genetically modified ingredients, GMOs, and have high fructose corn syrup in them, if you'll take some apple cider vinegar every day, and like I do, I put some in a drink every day. Sometimes I take it straight, good quality organic apple cider vinegar, and take Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you will see your health just go up like crazy. And then you get into other things that we recommend. And you can find all of my recommendations on the website on dirtdoctor.com under the food and nutrition part of the website. If you want our newsletter, it's free. Send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com or fill out the little form that's on the website, and we'll send it to you weekly. Doesn't cost you a thing. If you want to join the Organic Club of America, it does cost a little, but it's worth a lot. And we'd like for you to be a member. See you next time.